right, here we go. I am Jeff K. This is the Jeff K. Show. We are broadcasting once again from deep, deep underneath a nondescript home in suburban Pennsylvania. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for finding us. Thanks for listening. So on and so forth. Furthermore and whatnot. I wanted to, before we get started on this, I wanted to bring you up to date on the ongoing dishwasher saga. That's the proper way to say that word, saga, right? I heard I think I might have told this story before, but when I was in West Virginia, at the very end, right before I flew the coop, when I was about 22, I was working at this shithole convenience store. I worked overnight with all these hardened rednecks, and I mean, it was terrible. I mean, I had officially hit rock bottom. You know, I was working at this convenience store. Some guy come in there with a gun one night. I think I told that story too, but I was working in there with this guy who was known as Fop. He wore this hat, this baseball cap, it said Fop on the front of it. Stood for Fraternal Order of Police. Who the hell knows why? But he wore this thing all the time, so everybody called him Fop. I was working overnight. One thing they did right in this place is they had two people working a night. A lot of those convenience stores, they stick somebody in there and let the chips fall where they may. But this place, they always had two of us in there. So I was working with this guy, and this dude pulls up 3 o'clock in the morning with the, you know, this piece of shit car that's like, it's like, has a value of like $600, you know, but it has a $2,500 stereo in it. You know what I'm saying? So he pulls up cranked, he's blasting Rush. He was listening to Rush Limbaugh tapes of Rush. No, he was blasting the band Rush, and so loud that the windows in the store were rattling. I mean, he comes strolling in there with a, you know, walking with a sense of purpose, super confident, goes back and grabs a 12-pack of Budweiser or something. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, way past time when we can sell beer. So he starts walking, strolling, strutting towards the cash register. And old Fop goes, hey, it's way past, we can't sell you that, it's after two, and also, you need to turn that shit down out there. So, this guy, he flies into a rage, you know, he goes wild with, just full of unbridled hick fury. You know, he puts the beer, the 12-pack on the counter, and he's just like shouting. He's like full of anger, shouting at old Fop and me, although I didn't have anything in it, innocent bystander. And so he's like, you know, screaming all the, you know, the normal stuff, you know, and the normal things that when some hick gets angered, that come out, you know what I'm saying? So he's shouting and yelling, waving his hands around. He goes out and jumps in his $600 junker and, you know, takes off, and he goes around the corner and squeals the wheels, you know? And so we're in there, goes like, ah, cock, 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 you know, just laughing our asses off. You know, this is hilarious. So we just settle back and, you know, wait for the next victim to come in, and next thing you know, the guy's back. He returned like 15-20 minutes later, except this time he has a gun. You know, he comes in there still pissed, and the guy's like drunk on top of it. I mean, he's just like, so I mean, just beside himself with anger, and he starts shouting all this stuff about how we disrespected his car stereo. Nobody said anything about the quality of the stereo, you know. All old Fop was talking about was the volume. We didn't say anything. There was nothing said about the, you know, the quality of it, of the apparatus, you know. So we're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's got a gun. It's a silver pistol of some sort. I don't know anything about it. But he comes in there, and he's like pointing it. First he points it in my face, and he points it in his face. you know, and he's shaken, he's pissed, he's drunk, shouting all kinds of nasally, you know, threats. And I'm like, oh my God, here it is. This is it. This is the way it's going to end. Because that's stuff. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you're talking completely unpredictable territory. This stuff happens on TV and you're like, you know, you just watch it. You don't even really think about it. But when you're on the receiving end of something like that, that shit is terrifying. I mean, I didn't know if I was going to be able to maintain the sanctity of my sphincter, if you know what I mean. It was scary. But I don't know. We talked. We were like, hey, we're not, you know, just, you know, we don't have any problem with your stereo. It was just too loud. You know, that's all. That's all we were. He backed down. Or he cooled off, I should say. He didn't back down. He cooled off. He ended up leaving without anything happening, thank God. But that scared the hell out of me, and that was basically the impetus for me to say, I'm done, you know, I got to get out of here. So weeks later, maybe like 2 weeks later, I left the state of West Virginia. I needed to shake things up. I wasn't blaming West Virginia. It had nothing to do with that. I just needed a shake up, you know. So anyway, that's what triggered, so to speak. Triggered my leaving of the old homeland. But anyway, back to the original story. There was this, we used to listen to FM 105, the rock station there. I don't know. I think it's called Rock 105 now. I don't know why. But back in those days when I lived there, it was called FM 105. And by the way, I hate to keep going back on these barely related jags, but they still play. If you go to, back to Charleston, the town I'm from, and you listen to FM 105, well, Rock 105, they play the it's like the same playlist as they, you know, roughly the same playlist as they were playing back when I lived there, back in the early 80s, you know. In fact, my son and I went there, I don't know, last year, I think, to see my parents. And we had this game where we were playing. So when we get within range of Rock 105, what do you think the first song that we'll hear? So we had this contest. I think both of us were allowed to pick five songs that it might be. And we were coming up with, you know, both of us were doing all the normal stuff like Stairway to Heaven, Sympathy for the Devil. You know, I think my son threw in a couple of wild cards. So we had our five. We had our five each songs that we felt was going to be the first song that we heard as soon as we got within, you know, broadcast range of Rock 105. This is a little thing we do. These are the kind of fun things we do. and so both of us had our five. And the song that we heard was not on either one of our lists. Are you ready? Are you ready for it? That's right, Cat Scratch Fever by Ted Nugent. That's what they were playing. That was the first song. So anyway, they've been playing the same stuff roughly for, I don't know, 40 years. I don't know, maybe longer. Anyway, I keep getting off track. I used to work that overnight shift with old FOP and other, you know, various and sundry rednecks. And they used to play there was this Canadian, I think they were Canadian, just like Rush, also Canadian. But there was this lesser known band called Saga, S-A-G-A. That's the proper way, right? That's the way you're supposed to pronounce that word. Anyway, this overnight DJ at FM 105 pronounced it Saga. So he always said, that was Saga, you know, it would drive me insane. These are the kind of things I fixated on. And I still do, fixated on when I was 22, and I fixate on them when I'm my current age. So anyway, I called the guy up, and I said, hey, man, it's not Saga, it's Saga. I mean, every time you play that record, you pronounce it wrong. He goes, who cares? Who gives a shit? I said, it's wrong. I said, are you choosing the wrong? Why would you choose the wrong way of saying something? And he goes, why are you busting my balls over some stupid shit like that? I said, I'm just letting you know that you're not saying it right. And he goes, I don't care. I'm going to continue saying SAGA. And if you don't like it, too bad. I said, man, this guy's got an attitude. You know, what the hell? So anyway, the saga of our dishwasher, that thing was not, all right, I told you the whole thing. We hired a big company, you know, a big giant retailer to come in here. It was Home Depot. Why am I protecting these guys? Why am I running some kind of, you know, who gives a shit? It was Home Depot. We give them $99 on top of whatever the thing cost to install it. They won't do it. The guy's like, oh, no, I can't do that. So then, like, what? So we have to get a plumber in here, and the plumber's like, you know, I'm busy. We got pipes bursting all over town. They're just bursting. I think I just heard another one burst. So anyway, so he couldn't come for 2 weeks. The thing's sitting in our living room. He finally comes. He installs it, but he has trouble. Takes him like 2 hours to get the thing in there. I don't know what the hell's going on. Charges us $225, which just seems like an enormous amount. The Home Depot price was $99. That's what they were going to, you know, charge to install it and haul it away, the old one. So this guy finally, he gets it in there, charges us, you know, over twice what originally we had planned on. And the thing doesn't work right. The thing doesn't, you know, there's a bunch of filthy water in the bottom of the thing. It's just sitting like a pool of stagnant, shitty food-laden water in the bottom of this thing. It won't drain. And then, so we're like, so we run it again, and it's like it just distributes that filth all over the dishes, you know? It's like there's a thin film of filth on everything. It's like, this is, what the hell, you know? So then we start hand washing stuff, because I don't know, obviously, feels like we're just, the stuff's being washed in, like, sewage or something. So then we just take everything, things already been run through the dishwasher twice, the brand new General Electric dishwasher that we just purchased, and we have to take everything out of there and hand wash it, because it's coated in filth. And so then we call the guy back, and they're like, he's busy. You know, so the woman answers, he's very busy. So eventually another 2 weeks go by or so. I don't know, maybe a week. The guy comes back out here, and he says, did you guys have a garbage disposal installed recently? They're like, well, not recently, but, you know, a year ago or so. He goes, can I take a look at that? So he gets up underneath there, and there's like something that needs to be like punched. There's like a hole in it or something that needs to be punched out or something so there's not like a vapor lock or something, some kind of vent. He said the guy that installed that didn't punch that out, so it wasn't allowing didn't allow the water to drain properly. I was like, I don't know. But anyway, so he gets a screwdriver and a hammer, knocks that thing out, and now it works perfectly. And he charged us another $30 for his, at least he knew. I mean, I guess we're paying for his expertise, right? So, I don't know. We got like $750 into this thing. You know, I don't know. And the thing's not, you know, I mean, I don't know. We thought maybe we started out maybe like $475, $500, I don't know. We're pushing $800 now. I mean, whatever. You know, everything, this is the way things go. But now it's working. It took us a month. An entire dishwasher full of shit water just being sprayed all around. And now we're there. So next is the stove. We're going to get rid of that thing, get a new one. I mean, that should be easier, right? You just plug those bitches in, as far as I know. I don't know. We'll see. All right, so that brings you up to date on that saga. And hopefully that's the end of that. Today I watched a documentary about Johnny Bench, my boyhood my boyhood hero, you know, Johnny Bench of the mighty Cincinnati Reds, the Big Red Machine, as they called it. And by the way, when I was watching this thing, before I get started on this thing, there was a story told in the, I forgot, I'd read about it. There's this book called The Machine about the about those Big Red Machine years, which is the, you know, mid-70s, basically. And Sparky Anderson, the new manager, when right after he was hired, or shortly after he was hired, he supposedly had some kind of team meeting in spring training. And this is exactly what it says. So this is, you know, shortly after Sparky joined the team. And so here's what the book says. I found it on the internet. It says, he announced that the machine was made up of two different kinds of players. This is what he's telling. This is what he's telling the team in the locker room. He says he announced that the machine was made up of two different kinds of players. First, there were the superstars. To be more specific, Sparky said there were four superstars: Pete Rose, Johnny Bench, Joe Morgan, and Tony Perez. Those four made their own rules. Those four were royalty. The rest of you, Sparky said, are turds. So the man had a way with words, Sparky. So anyway, I watched that thing today, and it was good. It had a lot of stuff where he's like raising his kids, which I've talked about before. He's like 71, 72 years old. He's raising these two little kids. They're like 9 and 11, somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't know what the hell. I mean, that seems, I don't know. It shows him like combing their hair and making them eggs in the morning and stuff. You know, anyway, I don't know. The wife, I don't know where the ex-wife is. And who am I to judge? I can't. You know, I'm in no position to judge. But anyway, so Johnny's now, he's living in this fancy house down in Florida, raising these two kids by himself, young, these young kids. And he's 71, 72, you know, Hall of Famer, baseball legend, raising these two kids at 72. Whatever. So that part, you know, it's a little, seems a little odd to me. But anyway, but, you know, most of it was about his career. And there are parts of it I forgot about. I remember he had some kind of cancer scare back in the, like in 72 or something. I forgot about that. He had to go, after the season was over, they had to go in and like do some kind of exploratory surgery. And there was concern that he had lung cancer or something. I forgot about that. But the thing was pretty good. You know, the documentary was good. At the end when, you know how these documentaries are. At the end when everybody's on there, one after the other, they you know, they're saying, he's the greatest, you know, all this stuff. And it's kind of, and it shows his dad, like when he's inducted into the Hall of Fame, he's got tears in his eyes. You know, it's kind of touching, you know. So anyway, that was good. Wasn't a complete. I mean, I'd give it a B+. I don't know. It was, you know, I liked it, but it didn't blow me away. But anyway, it started making me think about this thing that happened. I don't know if I've told this story here or not. I don't think I have. I'm getting to the point where I can't remember what I've talked about on this thing. But I went back in. So I told you he was my hero. I love that guy, Johnny Bench. I mean, everybody loved Johnny Bench. He was the best, you know. I mean, I was completely obsessed with baseball, and Johnny Bench was the, you know, he was the pinnacle as far as I was concerned. So during his final season, he announced that he was going to retire after the season was over. At the end of that season, in September, like sometime in September of the final season, Cincinnati had this Johnny Bench night, right? And they had, you know, they were going to honor Johnny Bench. It was going to be this big thing. I bought tickets. I don't know how old I was. I was probably 21, 20, 21. And I bought tickets, and I drove up to Cincinnati. I wanted to be there for Johnny Bench night. I went with my girlfriend, Kelly. She and I dated for many years. So we went up there together. I think my brother might have been with us. I can't remember. So it might have been the three of us. And so we go to the thing. It's fantastic. The place is sold out. There's like 55,000 people there. And, you know, everybody's like in a great mood. And they're passing out all this Johnny Bench, you know, paraphernalia, bumper stickers and stuff. And the vendors, like the beer salesmen and stuff, had these big buttons that say "I love JB" on them, like "I heart JB." And I asked one of them, I said, "How much would you?" I said, "Would you sell me that?" And he said, "Yeah, I'll sell it to you." I said, "How about $5?" And he goes, "Sold." So those things weren't even available to the public. But anyway, so that was great. You know, we got to our seats. They had this big red carpet that ran from center field to right behind pitcher's mound. They had this like stage set up back there. He walked out from behind the center field wall and walked that in the long, you know, walk to the infield. Place is going crazy, you know. And there's a bunch of speeches given, and it's a big honor and everything. And then he's catching. He's the last time he ever started as a catcher. So he's starting the game behind the plate. And he throws out a runner almost immediately. I'm starting to think, is this thing set up? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about this. But it's fun. It's exciting. You know, throws out a guy trying to steal second, like, almost immediately. Like, hell yeah. And then this is where tragedy struck. Are you ready for a gut-wrenching tale? This is horrible. This is something I didn't even admit for many years. But so, like I say, I'm with my girlfriend, and for some reason, I don't know, I can't remember the complete details of it. She wants to get something from the concession stand. You can already see where this is going, right? I'm like, I don't want to leave this seat because I don't know what's going to happen. So I try to time it. I said, let's wait until the perfect time. So I try to time it. The place is packed, for one thing. And the concession stands are, like, slammed, you know. I mean, they couldn't have fit. I think that place was sold, you know, oversold. They sold, like, 120% of tickets, you know. So I picked the time. I thought, we're safe, you know. He's not going to come to bat before we get back. So we go to the concession stand, and it's, like I say, it's packed. There's nothing. There's people everywhere. And we're standing in line to get this fucking Sprite or whatever. Who the hell? Corn dog? I don't know. I don't know what we're getting. But she had to have something. I'm not blaming her. Well, yeah. Anyway, we're standing in line. And the whole place. All right, we're outside. This is like one of those old ballparks. The old round, you know, multi-purpose ballparks where they play football and they have tractor pulls and you know, the Who plays there, you know, and there's baseball and the Bengals are there. I don't know what the hell. Those things are shit. Those stadiums, those round multi-purpose. I think most cities had them, like Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati, Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh, the Vet in Philadelphia, Veterans Stadium, the one down in Atlanta. You know, there's one in every. So you have to leave. You have to actually go outside. Hang on a second. Anyway, you have to go outside the stadium to go to the concession stand. So we go out there, we're waiting in line, and the whole place goes wild. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Oh my God! And you know, the place is going. I mean, the place is just absolute pandemonium. I'm like, what the hell? You know, and he hit a home run while I'm in line for a, you know, ice cream sundae or whatever the hell. And he hit the last home run of his career on Johnny Bench night while I'm in line getting a goddamn frosty root beer. I've never felt such anguish in my life. I missed it. I've seen film of it, just like every other jack off. And, I mean, I was like, I couldn't believe it, you know. I mean, I'm happy we were there, but I did not see the final home run of my hero's career on his special night at Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati, September of some year. I don't know. But anyway, that's the gut-wrenching tale. The thing about that is, the thing about Johnny Bench, you know, I always feel like that I'm kind of like dead inside, you know. Sometimes I worry that I have no emotions anymore, that everything's been burned out. I've been beaten down. Feels like the only emotions left are anxiety. Anxiety. I don't know. Seems like there's three of them, but let's see. Anxiety and I don't know what the other one is, but the other one is seething anger. So anxiety and seething anger, and it feels like there's another one. But anyway, so I get concerned about that every once in a while because I don't really feel, you know, any highs or lows. And but I was watching one night. I was watching a bunch of videos on YouTube, just messing around, you know, probably having a few adult beverages, you know, if the truth be known. And I was watching something. There was this guy. There's this, you know, the 8 guys that started on those big red machines. The start. They're called the Grade 8 now. I don't think they were called the Grade 8 back then, but that's what they're known as now. The start. The 8 starting guys on those Great Reds teams. I can run them down for you if you want. All right, Bench behind the plate. Perez at first. Morgan at second. Rose at third, Concepcion at short, Foster in left, Cesar Geronimo in center, Ken Griffey Sr. in right. Yeah, the Grade 8. So anyway, they're having some kind of like commemoration of them recently. It's like the last couple of years or something. And they were Marty Brenneman, the radio announcer, who's getting ready to start his 46th year, by the way. Was introducing them one at a time. And when he was introducing Johnny Bench, he was he was milking this thing, you know, in front of a huge crowd in Cincinnati. He goes, winner of the 1968 Rookie of the Year Award. And the whole place goes crazy. That's all you have to say. And everybody knows who he's talking about. And he starts like listing all his accomplishments. 1970, 1972, most valuable player, you know, 10 gold gloves, 14 time All-Star, 1975 World Series MVP. Starts listing all these things. 1989, Baseball Hall of Fame inductee. And then, so he's like listing all these, and the place is just getting whipped into a frenzy, you know. As he continues this list of all these accomplishments, he just keeps going and going and going. And then he goes, you know, after he has this cadence going, right? You know, 1989 National Baseball Hall of Fame inductee. And then he does this little dramatic pause, and he goes, the greatest catcher of all time. And the place is just erupting, you know. And Johnny runs out in of the dugout, and the place is just going crazy. I feel like, oh my God, I can feel it. There's a lump in my throat. I'm about ready to start bawling. You know, it's like something's in there. But you see what it takes? It takes baseball. Baseball's the only thing. I don't know. I could be wrong. I mean, it's kind of sad. But I feel like, man, there's something still in there, some kind of emotion other than aggravation. And, yeah, that's it. Aggravation, anxiety, seething anger. So, you know, when he says there's like this little pause, just the slightest little pause where he breaks up the cadence a little bit, and he goes, the greatest catcher of all time. And I was like, oh my God, there it is. I guess I'm still semi-human at this point. So anyway, that was my day. I hope that you enjoyed some of that saga. And we're near the end of this thing, and I'm gonna wind her down. So hope you guys enjoyed it. I will be back on Thursday over at Patreon. If you want to hear the Patreon shows, just head on over to patreon.com. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a patronage, and you'll end up with all the old shows. They're not old. All the ones that have already been recorded and all the new ones as they come out. Do it today. It's easy. It's painless. It's $4 or more a month. That's all. Just do it today. Patreon.com/JeffK. And I'm calling it a day here. You guys have yourselves a fantastic week. I will see you on Thursday over at Patreon. Until then, have a great one. Bye. So he starts walking, strolling, strutting.